Rob Matchern is president of Matchern & Associates, LLC, a consulting firm that specializes in assisting law firms to develop strategies for their support services to reduce expenses and increase the realization of their soft cost recoveries. Matchern & Associates just recently published their 2010 Cost Recovery Benchmarking Report, based on a survey of 81 law firms in the U.S. and Canada. Today, Rob and Ed will be discussing the economics of running a law practice.
I have the privilege today of talking with Rob Matchern, and we're going to talk about some interesting things that I think that go to the heart of the economics of a law practice. Rob, thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be here, Ed.
You and your company recently completed a cost recovery survey of law firms. Tell us a little bit about that, what it is, and why you did it.
Well, the cost recovery survey we just wrapped up was the 2010 version. We started doing these surveys back in 2004 to really get a picture of what's going on with the whole soft cost recovery side of the legal market. You hear a lot of stories how clients are trying to push back, or you know, back then, what percentage of firms are charging for prints and scans, and how much they were actually billing, collecting, and so on like that. So we thought it would be useful to address this area, since really no one was gathering quantifiable data on this area.
Well, when you talk about cost recovery, I mean, there are a couple of things that come to my mind. One is photocopy, fax, deposition transcripts, so forth and so on. But also, there's the idea of cost recovery where you've sent out a bill for 5 hours of work and you do or don't get paid for that. When you talk about, in terms of your survey, what kinds of costs are you talking about? What kinds of costs were you asking lawyers to comment about?
Well, the areas that you mentioned, the photocopies and facsimiles, prints, scans, litigation support. We also put a new area in the survey for emerging areas, such as offsite record storage. Some firms are looking to start recovering the cost of the store and the closed files.
Really?
Closing books. Litigation support, coding, scanning, and exactly how they are capturing those charges, charging them or recovering those costs is what we try to use, the terminology we use, from their clients, and exactly what they're getting paid for in the end.
So, in other words, in one sense, either you're suggesting or you're reflecting that law firms are unbundling overhead. Legal services being unbundled is one idea. The idea, for example, that you'll charge for strategy, you'll charge for filing of a complaint, you'll charge for preliminary hearing or order show cause hearing, things like that, as opposed to a total service. But you're suggesting, I think, if I'm reading between the lines correctly, that law firms now are tearing apart what some might perceive to be overhead and charging for those separately. Am I understanding correctly?
You are. And really, it falls into two camps. Firms that are getting more aggressive in, as you say, unbundling overhead, you know, the back office support service functions, and trying to recover those costs or charge for those costs from their clients. And then other firms almost taking a step back saying, listen, you know, our clients don't like this nickel and diming. We want to start really, they want us to roll this into our fees and not charge for these soft costs. So there's really two camps we're seeing being set up in the legal marketplace. And it depends upon the firm's philosophy, their client base, what type of practice areas. So it really depends a lot upon the individual firm.
Well, you're probably then sitting in the catbird seat of seeing what is happening. And can you suggest to us what kinds of – well, you've got two modalities, one charging and one not charging, one bundling and one unbundling. And if you were to look at these two modalities, what kinds of firms are going in each direction? What kinds of firms, for example, are putting it all together, wrapping up as all one fee, and what kinds of firms are unbundling that and trying to collect separately for the overhead?
Well, I think a lot depends upon the size of their clients. That's what we're seeing. That's really where we're going to take the study the next time around, is we're seeing what firms, what they're actually doing, but why are they doing it this way?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot depends upon drilling down, which some firms have this information and some firms don't, on their actual realizations. Because you can charge a client matter number for copies, prints, litigation support, electronic data storage, whatever. It goes through, obviously, the pre-bill process where the attorney has the ability to write that off. And then it goes to the client who then has the ability to write it off.
Mm-hmm.
So depending upon, really, and we find the clients really dictate it, they're training the firm's attorneys what they're paying for and not paying for if it's not covered in the engagement letter. So a lot depends upon if you have, you know, dealing with clients that account for a large amount of your business and they're saying, hey, we're not paying for any litigation support done in-house, then you know what? You're not going to be charging them for it.
Oh, obviously. I mean, my rule of thumb is any client that produces more than 10% of your revenue is a dangerous client because, as you say, they will dictate the terms.
Yeah, they're managing your firm for you.
Right.
And so in that case, what we do is really taking a strategic look at your support services, your back office. And if the client's dictating that they're not going to pay for on-site charges for copies, print scans, et cetera, but they're willing to pay for when it's done by a third party, which then turns into a hard cost, something you have a hard invoice for, we really position the support services to become more of a hard cost pass-through model.
You've suggested one metric, that is how large the client is vis-a-vis the law firm, that is what percentage of the business comes from that given client. Are there other metrics that you've seen, for example, how big the client is, forget about how important to the law firm the client may be, or what kind of issue the client is bringing to the client? Are there other metrics like that that you can suggest mandate which modality of billing that you use?
Well, I'll tell you, this is more, we don't take that into account when we're looking at a firm's total cost recovery picture. That's more of a specific type situation that if a firm is not comfortable charging because of what that client or that matter pertains to, we haven't drilled down that far yet. But that's a great avenue to explore.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that would be really significant benefit for lawyers to know, I would think. In terms of this year's survey, how did you find as compared to previous survey results? Were there any significant changes that you can suggest to us?
I think a few specific, if you asked me, you know, 4 months ago before we did the survey and had the results and analyzed them, I would be willing to bet you that scan percentage of firms that charge for scans would have increased dramatically. That wasn't the case.
Mm.
Percentage of firms charging for scans, which is exploding in the legal market, scanning, creating PDFs and so on like that, it stayed relatively steady, about 27%.
So you're saying 27% of those surveyed actually charged for scanning documents?
Yes.
And is this like one or two documents, or this is a really big major project scanning?
Well, I tell you, we break it down into two areas. We break it down into what we call convenience scanning, which is those one to two-page documents.
Great term. I love it.
Okay. Instead of you know, in the old days, that would have been faxed.
Right.
Okay. To a separate area, we call that which is litigation scanning. You have 10 boxes of documents. Again, in the old days, you would have made copies of those. Now you scan them into a, you know, a database. So when I say 27% of firms are charging for scans, that is for convenience scanning.
Wow.
You act surprised.
I am, because, it's different than faxing, but the law firm, other than the labor, contrary to faxing, isn't being charged with anything, are they?
Well,
or am I missing something?
I tell you, you know what, there is a lot of people say that, but there is a cost to scanning, okay? You're correct about the labor being somewhat constant, okay? Someone is actually creating that scan. There's a obviously the software, workflow software, eCopy, AccuRoute, that goes into that in a lot of situations. You also have storage. Okay, the servers that these machines are now connected to. So now there is a cost. Again, it's, you know, I could much easy. It's much easier to determine a cost per copy than a cost per scan, but there are costs to it. And firms are saying, hey, listen, this is I used to send a facsimile, I used to charge $1 per page for a facsimile.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Well, I'm going to scan that now. Okay? Granted, I don't have a cost of a phone call, but there's still a cost there. And, you know, I'm not going to charge $1. I'm going to charge I'm going to set a rate at 12 cents or 15 cents and charge that back to the firm, back to the client.
Wow. My initial reaction would be, if you can't absorb the 12 cents or the 50 cents or the 30 cents, whatever, then you have a real serious problem running your practice.
I tell you, you'd be surprised at which firms do charge for scans. And again, it's just taking the place of either mail-in documents.
Right.
Yeah, and then, you know, they used to, you know, firms still charge for postage or fax in the documents, which you used to charge $1 per page. And some firms charge $1 per page plus the cost of the phone call.
Well, if you're a large firm, I imagine that this can be a large number. But by the same token, their hourly rates are so much larger. And I would think as a client, I would be a little bit incensed to think that you are charging me a high rate, which is a rate sufficient to take care of your overhead. And now you want to unbundle the overhead and charge me separately for that.
Well,
that's interesting.
Yeah, I hear you. I see both sides of it. I see, you know, the legal business is not every matter is the same, and there's a variable cost factor compared to doing, you know, wills and, you know, estate planning versus a trial.
Right.
A litigation matter. You know, do you then have different rates? Again, do you have different attorneys working on those? But there's always a variable element to the cost that go along with those different types of matters.
You know, I think you're absolutely right. And so, the two examples you give are, you know, day and night, and clearly highlight the issue, I think. And I'm not sure, you know, you talk about different rates for different clients, and it's clear that not all lawyers are billed out at the same rate. And so with today's technology and the capability of having a myriad of different rates, it would seem to me that they'd be able to deal with that issue. But let's move on. What kinds of challenges do you see today's law firms having trouble with or trying to find solutions for from an operations perspective?
Well, I tell you, I think the biggest one is obviously the economic climate, you know, dictating that firms how to reduce their cost structures. And they've done so, but the level of services demanded by the clients and by their end users, the attorneys and paralegals and so on, has only increased.
Mm-hmm.
So they're really trying to provide more with less. And again, technology plays a huge part in that. So I would say that's the biggest challenge, the erosion of the whole soft cost recovery that clients are pushing back and saying, listen, no, you know, we're not going to be paying for these extra charges, or we're only going to pay 8 cents per copy versus, your rate of 15. So the revenue stream that used to cover up or used to support a lot of these services is being eroded. Now I just think the 24/7 demand that's out there that the firms have to deal with.
Wouldn't they be, I was going to say better off, but I'm not sure that's the right way to approach it. So let me reframe the question. In running a professional services law firm or business, isn't the greatest, fastest way to improve by focusing on the top line, that is the revenue, rather than the expense side? How do you see it? I mean, because your primary focus is obviously on the expense side.
Absolutely.
But isn't the better way, or the faster way to achieve more profit by focusing on the revenue side?
I think, and I could just say for myself, running a professional services firm, absolutely. But if you read, you know, if you listen to these speakers at these forums, the Hildebrands and something like that, that pool of revenue is relatively stagnant or decreasing. The demand for legal services is not growing in this, you know, economy. So the only way you're really going to do it is stealing other law firms' clients, which is, you know, easier said than done.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you're not able to do it, then really your only choice is the expense side.
All right. Interesting approach. In fact, I just completed a video segment where I talked about what I call almost like my question was, do you ever feel like a pre-owned car burnt out and used up? With pre meaning the formula for running a professional service organization of profit equals revenue minus expense. And your focus is obviously on the expense, a very important area. But I think what you're suggesting in reflection is that if the pool of clients, meaning the pool of revenue, is stagnant or decreasing, then greater emphasis has to be placed on the other element in the formula, expenses, in order to enhance your profit.
And I tell you, and we're using the term expense reduction, and a lot of firms, you know, especially in the last year or so, have been focusing intensely on expense reduction. And again, that's part of why people hire us, but I think even more important is developing the long-term strategy for the support services. That will lead to expense reduction. However, more important is maintaining or increasing the services to the end users, you know, and thus the clients. You know, if you get the right strategy in place, supported by an intelligent, well-informed cost recovery model, then the expenses will decrease.
Talk to me a little bit about your idea of developing the strategy. What does that mean? And what are some of the alternative strategies that a firm might consider?
I tell you, in relation to the support services, a lot of our projects entail reducing the number of vendors they're utilizing for their support services.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you an example. We do a lot of strategic type consulting and RFPs, requests for proposals, in the areas of offsite record storage. You know, a lot of these firms that have merged nationally, you know, will have, some of them, four or five offsite record storage vendors where they have different contracts, different terms, different pricing arrangements per the cities,
mm-hmm.
and cleaning those up and creating one master agreement to govern what's in place now, but any future, you know, a future expansion or mergers or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Other areas, you know, from a strategic viewpoint is, again, I go back to the whole cost recovery aspect. But if your clients are not paying for the soft cost recovery, the copies and scans and prints that are produced on site, now I'll tell you right now, economically, from the big picture, and you know what, you probably shouldn't be producing them on site. Go to more, as I mentioned, a overflow model where you're getting hard cost invoices and passing them through.
Okay.
So let's diminish the amount of services on site and create a, you know, as I said, overflowed vendor direct type model with hard costs. You know, the whole international, a lot of firms negotiate contracts domestically and then kind of the international is over, you know, almost a stepchild over to the side. And a lot of our larger clients, we're looking at global support services agreements.
Right. Fascinating. Let me ask you, because we're talking a lot today about scanning. Years ago, a managing partner of a Midwest law firm gave me a new idea, and the idea was to reduce the offsite storage that we're talking about. And the way they did that was to take a box by box by box and scan the documents in the back in the box, other than obviously the original documents which had to be preserved, such as the wills and you know, contracts and so forth, and then scanning them through a photocopy machine or otherwise, and then destroying the box so that it reduced the amount of physical storage they needed, reduced the cost of real estate for them, and coincidentally made those documents electronically searchable, thereby speeding up any recovery of a document or an idea that they might need in the future, because they didn't have to thumb through, you know, hundreds or thousands of pages of paper. And their idea was that since they, at least with respect to the photocopy machine, they were not being charged unless the page was printed. So up until the scanning process, they could do that for free other than the cost of labor. Are you seeing people today do that in order to reduce the real estate cost?
Absolutely. However, it's an excellent idea. However, when you drill down, first of all, there's a number of factors you have to consider here. One, that box you have stored at an off-site record storage vendor, your contract, chances are, you have to pay a permanent withdrawal fee, also known as a hostage fee.
Okay?
That ranges, and I'm pulling numbers, you know, anywhere from $3.50 to $7. Okay? So it's to get your hands on that box permanently so you can shred it and get away from the monthly storage fees, you're paying, let's just say, $5 a box.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a labor component of someone going through that box and determining what's original and what should be scanned, or original, and then what can be scanned, purging any duplicates or whatever. So there's a labor component there. And then the actual scanning operation. A lot of our clients are saying, hey, listen, I'm going to really work on my records retention policy so I can destroy that, so I'm comfortable destroying that. And then two, I want to stop the work new stuff from going into that offset record storage arena. So, and I tell you, depending upon which study you read, 90 to 95% of all documents are already in electronic format.
Mm.
So why am I sending boxes of documents that already are in electronic format off-site?
Interesting.
So, again, it's almost, we say, hey, listen, let's deal, let's try to drive down the cost of the permanent withdrawal, get a records retention policy in place, shred what we can shred that's 20 years ago. But then, I tell you, anything new, let's make sure we get it in electronic format into a you know, as you mentioned, a searchable format that we can find. And then the stuff that, you know, the last 10 years or so, I'd say let's be very, very selective what we do, put the man hours into scan and retain.
Interesting. Just as a side question, what, how many months of storage cost do you think the permanent withdrawal fee would match? Is it like 2 or 3 months, or is it like a year's worth?
No. You know, most, I'll say on average, you know, a firm's paying, I'll say, 15 cents to 25 cents per cubic foot.
Mm-hmm.
For every box they have stored per month. So you're talking about a, you know, 3 to 5 year, by the time you pay the hostage fee, 3 to 5 years before you start getting a payback on that box.
So it's, you're better off leaving the box alone.
I think a lot of our clients didn't even say this. You know, and I rather, you know, and some firms are getting aggressive on that. They're saying, listen, anything over 20 years old, destroy.
Yeah.
Or I'll tell you, I got to bring it back, notify the client, notify the attorney that I'm going to destroy it, give them the right, if the client wants those documents, to send it to them. But, you know, if you really, you know, it's that managing partner from that Midwestern firm, it's a great idea to put it into actual practice. It's easier said than done.
Right. All right, let me ask you the final question. What do you think are the three most important things a law firm needs to consider when looking at their support services?
Well, first of all, as I already mentioned, I think I probably beat to death, is looking at support services, make sure you're looking at what's happening on the cost recovery side.
Okay.
Okay, number one. Number two, create competitive situations. If you have a contract coming up, for your support services, which is usually the firm's, I'll say, fourth or fifth highest expense, behind wages, behind rent, and insurance. That whole support services area is usually their fourth or fifth highest expense. And it's just amazing to me that firms don't create more of a competitive situation when they're pricing those contracts.
Right.
So definitely try to price it. Don't work in a vacuum in terms of, hey, here's what I was paying before. The client, you know, the vendor's lowering
right.
the price by 10%, so it's a good deal. Go out and talk to other vendors, get competitive pricing. And then, and probably the most important, is develop a long-term strategy based upon what the firm's growth plans are, on what you want those support services to do for you over the next, I'll say, 3 to 10 years.
That may be key, what you want them to do for you.
Yeah.
Rob, thank you very much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure for me and a tremendous learning experience as well.
Oh.
Thanks.
Ed, thank you for having me. Take care.
You have been listening to a Law Biz podcast. For more podcasts, please visit www.lawbiz.com/podcasts.html. You can read more about this and other topics from the business of law at www.lawbizblog.com, or start your own discussion about this topic at www.lawbizforum.com. Join today. Feel free to tell your friends and colleagues about Law Biz Podcasts. You may duplicate this program in part or in whole, provided that you retain appropriate attribution and copyright notices.